Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos daf Ayin Aleph. We are holding on daf Ayin Amud Beis, the last few words of the page. Amar Lei, Rabbi Elazar. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and his wife and children. And leading this from his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, the neshama should have an aliyah. What we're going to talk about today is the following. First, we're going to discuss how we know that the Omer is matir any grain that has taken root in the ground. How do I know that it's not a grain at a later stage in the development? Maybe it's only matir the grain that's grown to a certain extent, or that's emerged from the karka, or some other stage of development. How do I know that it's dafka if it's taken root in the ground? Then the omer is going to be matir it. Then the Mishnah is going to give us four different cases where you're allowed to harvest grain before the Ktziras HaOmer. Normally you're not allowed to, but we're going to have four exceptions that you're allowed to harvest grain before the Ktziras HaOmer, and the Mishnah is also going to tell us four other dinim about the Karban Omer. The Gemara is going to discuss how we see from Pesukim in the Torah which grain can and cannot be harvested before the Ktziras HaOmer. If there are these four exceptions, obviously there are a number of cases where one may harvest grain before the Ktziras HaOmer, but generally there's an Isser, so how do I know which yes, which no? Then the Gemara is going to discuss six different things that the Anshei Yericho did, and the Chachamim had mixed reactions to that which the Anshei Yericho did, and we're going to have a stira whether the Chachamim allowed them to be kotzer prior to the Omer. So much of the daf is about ktsira before the Karban Omer, and then in Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss whether ktsiras shachas has a din of ktsira, whether we consider it to be the ktsira of stubble that grows from the ground, that's just coming, emerging from the ground, whether that has a din of ktsira, both legabe the ktsira before the omer, as well as legabe other halachos that we have, that we'll discuss, halachos related to peya. And that's going to take us through the entire Amud Beis. So let's begin the last few words of the page, on daf ayin Amud Beis. So amale Rabbi Elazar, le Rabbi Yoshia didare. Rabbi Elazar said to the Rabbi Yoshia of his generation. Well, obviously to the Rabbi Yoshia of his generation, he's not going to talk to Rabbi Yoshia of a different generation. So Rashi said, that he wasn't talking to Rabbi Yoshia HaGadol, who was a Tana. So we see from here that when Rabbi Elazar was alive, Rabbi Yoshia HaGadol, the Tana, was still alive. And that's why the Gemara has to tell me that he was speaking to him and not to Rabbi Yoshia HaGadol, the Tana. He was talking to the one that was closer in age to him. Rashi writes in Maseches Sota that the reason the Gemara says this, that he said this to Rabbi Yoshia of his own generation, was because he speaks to him with a certain amount of audacity, that a certain amount of, that we're going to see soon, that he speaks to him in a way where he instructs him what to do and what not to do. And that wouldn't be Derech Eretz to speak to Rabbi Yoshia, the great Tana, in such a way. Even if he was alive in the same generation, he would have been considerably older. So he says to him, Lo tesev akarech, do not sit on your feet, stand on your feet, adem farshle laham milsa, until you explain this matter to me. Minayin lo omer shamatir b'hashrasha. How do you know that the Karban Omer is matir? Anything that had hashrasha, that has taken root in the ground, and has not yet even grown at all. So you cannot sit down until you explain that to me. Now the idea of lo tesev akarech, the Ritva writes, said it's a lashon kotzer. It means that ella amod al raglecha. Rather, I want you to remain standing. And then the Ritva says, or it could mean the following. It could mean that do not even sit in the place where your feet are standing right now. Meaning, even in the, if you don't move another step, don't even sit down where you are. Or a karech might be kare amita, similar to kare amita. The kare amita, like the legs of a bed. So he's saying lo teshev al kisacha. Do not sit on your chair. Al karech doesn't mean your feet. It means don't sit on your chair, because karech. So again, three ways of understanding it. It's lo teshev, rather akarayich, rather stay on your feet, right? And it's a lashon kotzer. Or lo teshev akarech, do not even sit where your feet are right now. Or lo teshev akarech, do not sit on the vessel that you would normally sit, on a chair. The Aruch Liner writes that maybe this could be explained based on the Gemara in Maseches Megillah Daf Chaf Daf Aleph. The Gemara asks a stira that in one pasuk it says Ve'eshev Bahar, and the other pasuk says Ve'anochi Amadati Bahar. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do exactly? Did he sit or did he stand at Har Sinai? So he says Rakos Mu'umad, Kashos Miyushav. That which was easier he learned while he was standing up, and that which required more focus he learned while he was sitting down. So that's why Rabbi Lozzer said to Rabbi Yoshia, Lo Tesev Akarech, meaning the shayla that I'm about to ask you is not among the kashos that need to be miyushav. It's going to be so easy for you. You'll be able to answer it to me. You'll be able to answer me even when you're standing up. He was giving him an indication of the level of the shayla that he was going to ask him. The Ben Yoyada writes that when he says to him Lo Tesev Akarech, he was being merames to him that the shmua that he was asking him about, the piece of Torah that he was asking him about, was so beloved to him, it was like Tarasan Shel Rishonim, that in the earlier generations they used to always learn standing up. The Mishnah says at the very end of Sota, Mishra Mesram Gamliel Batal Kavara Torah. What does it mean that Batal Kavara Torah? Because prior to the Rabbi Gamliel, they would learn standing up in the Beis Medrash, and after Rabbi Gamliel died, that's when the Kavara Torah was not the same, and people would sit down in the Beis Medrash. So the Ben Yoyada says, that's what he was telling him, that this is so beloved to me, this is like the Torah of an earlier generation. So let's learn it like they used to learn in earlier generations. Tosos Maseches Bechoros on Daf Lamed Vav quotes Yerushalmi that darshans from the fact that the pasuk says Va'amdu Shnei Ha'anashim with a Vav, that someone who asks a Shaila in Halachos and Agados has to be Omed. So the Tzlach writes, even though it was after Rabbi Gamliel had died and the Talmidim were already at a stage where they were sitting down, that means that they had the right to sit down because people were not as strong of constitution as they used to be, and the Rabbanim were mochel on their kavod. But nevertheless, the very healthier Talmidim on their own would stand the kavod HaTorah, and they would learn Mu'umad. And not only that, but not every Talmud was given Rishus to sit down. Some of the Talmidim were not yet a Talmud Chaver, and they weren't given Rishus to sit down. They had to continue to stand. In Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Hilchos Kavod HaTorah and Siman Resh Mem Vav in Yerideya, it says Ein Shaul Mu'umad Vein Meshiv Mu'umad, that when we sit, when we learn, we sit and learn. We don't generally stand and learn. But the Rama writes Yesh Omrim, that when you're Shaul Adivar Alecha, then you need to be Omed. Then a person needs to be standing up. So generally speaking, nowadays we're not so makbid one way or the other. Whatever gets you focused, whatever helps you learn better, that's what a person does. But anyway, so he says, okay, here's what I want you to explain to me. How do I know that the Karban Omer is matir, that which has taken root in the ground? So Minalan, Rabbi Yoshia said back to Rabbi Lazar, you ask me, where do I know this? What do you mean? Dechsiv, the pasuk says, Aviv. It says, V'im takriv minchas bikurim l'Hashem, Aviv. So you bring it before it's, you bring the Omer from barley that is already fully ripened. Lav mechal diika de lav aviv. Doesn't that imply that there is other barley that is not yet fully ripened that's becoming mutter ba'achila al yedei this korban omer? Otherwise, you wouldn't have to identify that it's aviv. The fact that we're saying, the mincha itself should be brought from that which is ripened. So that tells me that the mincha is being matir even that which is not ripened, even something at an earlier stage. So that's hashrasha. So it says there are many stages between hashrasha and being ripened. All this shows me is that it's being matir grain that is not yet fully ripened. It's not telling me necessarily hashrasha v'dimel delav aviv uliolim da'il shlish. Maybe it's not fully ripened, but it's being matir grain that's a third grown. So Elo Amr Shmuel. Shmuel says, here's where I know the din from. That it says me'achel chermesh bakama. That for the zman k'tziras ha'omer is with the time that you do the k'tziras ha'omer with the kli to harvest lav mechal di'ika delav. So doesn't that tell me that there's other barley that's not yet ready to even be harvested? So you see that that must be at a stage where it's hushrosh bekarka, because if you're telling me to bring the Karban Omer at a time where you're going to harvest this grain, where this grain is ready to be harvested, it must be covering grain that's not yet ready to be harvested. What's not yet ready to be harvested? That which is only hushrosh bekarka. Says, well, there's a lot more than that that's not ready to be harvested. Maybe it just means something that's not yet yet ready to be harvested, liolam shachas, but it's still at least stubble that's coming out of the ground. It's not only that, and it's not going back to hushrosh bekarka. Maybe it's telling me that the carbon omer is matir once it emerges from the ground as shachas and is royal lemeichel behema. It's at least something. It's at least usable for some purpose. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Kama lav mechal de lav bar kama. No, because the pasuk also says kama, so that implies that it's being matir even grain that has not yet that is not yet standing grain, meaning which must mean at the time of hashrasha bekarka. Says Gemara, there's still another stage in between being standing grain and hashrasha bekarka that it might be matir. V'dilmul de lav bar kama uli olam agam. Maybe it's a lav bar kama, so it's not something that has that standing grain. Yet, but it's that which has gotten to the point of agam, that it's at least emerging from the ground a little bit, that which is understood by the Rishonim to mean that it's long enough that you're able to be lachav esrosh on litzadi karan, that it could be bent over to its root, that the tip of it could be bent over to its root. So maybe that's what it means, that we're being matir the grain that has just started to emerge from the ground, but not grain that's not emerged at all, and that's only taken ashrasha bekarka. Said Elam Rava. So Rava says no, because the pasuk by Shtei Alechem says Asher Tizra. It says Asher Tizra Besada. So we learn Mishasriya that already from the time that you planted, that's what the carbon number is going to be matir. So that must be referring to ashrasha bekarka. Says Gemara. No, now you went too far back. Amar Le Rav Rava Iachi Aval Gav Delo Hishrashnami. If you're going all the way back to the Shasriya, so then it's not yet at the stage of hashrasha. So says Gemara. Amar Le Sudni. Sudani, he's calls Rava says to Rav Papa, you are a Sudani, you are a Talmud Chacham Basada Ksiv. It says Asher Tizra Basada. So we see that the Omer is only matir, that which has been planted alone. It has to be something that's Basada, that has some attachment to the field. When is that which you planted considered to be attached to the field? When there's Hashrasha, when there's some sort of root that has taken place. So only then is the carbon omer matir. So again, the Gemara wanted to say that how do I know that the carbon omer is matir, even grain that's at an earlier stage? So we kept on going back earlier and earlier. We said that the pasuk of Aviv, yeah, but that just tells me if it's 1/3 grown. No, the pasuk of Mehechel Chermesh, no, that just tells me if it's not yet ready to be harvested, but it's pretty, but it's somewhat grown. But it's at least Roy for Michael Behema. Okay, maybe I learned it from Kama. Well, that just tells me that it's at least emerged from the ground. So the Gemara had said, you know, from Asher Tizra Basada, that Tizra Basada tells me that it's planted in the ground and it's taken root in the ground. That's what the Korban Omer is going to be matir. Why would you call a guy a Sudani? What does that mean? So Rashi writes, it's al shem Soda Shemli Reyav, that since Tamil Chachamim have certain secrets that they get from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so they're called the secret bearers, is the Sudani. Or Rashi writes, Sudani is a beer brewer, that the Gemara in the 10th parak of Pesachim says, or if Papa said, that if he wasn't in the beer brewing business, he never would have become wealthy. And a Sudna is a nutrikun of Sodna, that it's an Eitzatova to get involved in that business, because it's a great business. That there are some businesses that are Rumnus Nikivakala or whatever, that are, so that happens to be a great bit, people like their beer. So that's it's a good business to be involved in. It's a secret only for people who learn Gemara and know Pesachim Kuf Yud Gimel. So that's why he's a Sudani. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter now, a new Mishnah rather. Kotzrin Beis Hashlachin Sheba Amakim, that you're allowed to harvest certain fields, certain types of grain before the Korban Omer, before your Kotzer the Omer, and that is you're allowed to be Kotzer a Beis Hashlachin, a field that needs to be watered by people, Sheba Amakim, where you find in the deep valleys. And Rashi writes that the reason is because it becomes ruined very easily. It's a dry field, and if you leave the grain out there, Mechubel Karka, after it's ripened, it will become useless, and it's a low quality grain. So there's no isra of the ktsira on such grain, because such grain could never be used for the korban omer anyway. So you're allowed to be kotzer such grain before the ktsira saomer. Of a low godshin, but you're not allowed to pile up the grain even from such a field. Second exception, Anshe Yericho Kotzrin Birtzon Chachamim. The Anshe Yericho would be Kotzer their grain, and the Chachamim weren't upset about it because they had such similar fields of low quality grain and of grain that would have gotten ruined. Vigodshin Shelo Birtzon Chachamim. They piled up the grain that was against the Ratzon Chacham. The Chacham did not allow such a thing, but Vlo Michu Biyadam. Nevertheless, even though it was Shelo Birtzon Chachamim, the Chacham didn't make a machab against it, because the whole idea of Ein Gochin, the Miri points out, is not really Mikra Adin. It's a Chumra Shami Yavol Liachlo, that you might come to eat it, which you're certainly not allowed to eat this grain before the Karban Omer. It is Chadash. It's just that we made an exception that you're allowed to be Kotzer this grain. So the Isser to be Godesh was because that you might come to eat it, but it was a Chumra Bialma, so they didn't make a Machah. You have to pick your battles. And then third, Kotzer L'Shachas. You're allowed to be kotzer your grain before it's gotten to the point of shachas, meaning before it's to be eaten umach lebehema, and therefore meaning when it's at the point of shachas and you could feed it to the animals. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Emasai, when are you allowed to do that? Bizman shemaschil ad shelo hevishlish. That's only if you started being kotzer for your animals before it's 1/3 of its way grown. So then we say that you're allowed to continue to be kotzer even if by the time you finish the harvesting it's already 1/3 grown. So as long as you start harvesting in order to have animal fodder before it's 1/3 grown, you may continue harvesting for the sake of animal fodder even if it's more than 1/3 grown. Rabbi Shimon Omer Yiktzer V'Yachil Af Mishei Vishlish. And Rabbi Shimon says, if you're being kotzer to feed your animals, you're allowed to do it even if it's already 1/3 grown, because if the grain is not fully ripened, that's not called ktsira, right? Meaning this exception is telling us that when you're kotzer l'shachas, it doesn't have a shame ktsira. There's an isra of being kotzer prior to the ktsira sa'omer. It's not called ktsira when it's at such an, when you're kotzer l'shachas. But machlokas tanaim, what exactly that means? Whether it's when it's not yet 1/3 grown, or even if it is 1/3 grown, but you're being kotzer for Michael Behema. And then, kotzer mipnei netios, you're allowed to harvest grain prior to the Karban Omer because of the damage that grain is causing to neighboring trees in that field. And mipnei base, and not only that, mipnei base evel, in order that there should be space in order to do the birchas avelim. If they don't have a nice outdoor space to gather together to do birchas avelim, the Gemara in the first parak of Ksub tells us that when they would do the Sudas Havra'a for the Avelim, they would give them the Suda in an open area. And that's where they would say the Birchas Avelim, and the Gemara tells us what the Birchas Avelim over there is. Now, it's a little bit interesting because the Mishnah says Mipnei Beis Ha'Evel. So apparently we're not... But we're saying that it's not the Beis Ha'Evel, that it's outside. So the Tos Yom Tov explains that over here it doesn't mean by Mamish, it's like what Rashi writes in Chumash, Vayishma Beis Paro, that Beiso Shel Paro means his Avadav and his Bnei Beiso, and that's not a Lashon of a physical home, of a physical house, it means like a group of people. So Mipnei Beis HaEvel, it means all the people that are associated with that Avel, when they're going to gather together and they're going to do the Birch Savelim and they're going to do the Suda Savra. So to make room for them, you're allowed to cut the grain out of the way, even though it's not yet the time of the Karban Omer, and Mipnei Bitl Beis HaMed. If you needed a place for the Talmidim to be for the Beis HaMedrash, you're allowed to harvest the grain to clear out some space. Lo yasos and krichos. However, you're not allowed to then take that grain and make bundles of grain. Aval menichin savasim. But you're allowed to put it in piles when they're not bound up and they're not tied up together. So these are the exceptions to the issur of being kotzer prior to the Karban Omer. That if it's a Beis HaShlach and Shabbat Makim, and we said Anshe Yericho was an example of that. If it's to feed your animals and it's machlokas tanoim, at what stage the grain has to be grown to be allowed to feed you, to harvest to feed your animals. If it's because it's damaging neighboring trees, or to make space for a Beis Evel and Beis Medrash. Now, a few other halachas relating to the Omer. Mitzvah Omer lava min akama. L'charchila, you should be kotzer the grain for the Omer from standing grain, but lo matzah, if you didn't find grain that's standing grain that's still mechuber lekarka, because all the grain has already been harvested. So yavi mina amarim, you're allowed to bring the carbon omer from grain that's already been harvested, that's already detached to the ground. Mitzvah so lova min alach, you're supposed to bring moist grain for the carbon omer. Lo matza yavi yavesh, if you cannot find moist grain, so then you can bring yavesh. Where do we see that it's lach? Because the pasuk says karmel, and the Gemara darshined a few dapim ago that it's rach umal. So Tosus points out that you don't have to say that gorim osifim vidarshim, that the letters of the word can be moved around, like you have a salma and simla. So that's what the karmel is, rach vimal, even though it's not the same order of the words. But that's how we know that it's supposed to be somewhat moist. Mitzvasel liktzer belayla, niktzer biyam kosher. You're supposed to do the ktzira at night. If you did the ktzira during the day, it's going to be kosher. V'dochas haShabbos, and the ktzira saomer is docha Shabbos as well. So Hasebis raises the question: why does the Mishnah have to tell me that if you do the ktzira during the day, it's kosher? We just said that even if you showed up and everything was already harvested, it's kosher. So obviously, if you do the ktzira during the day, it's kosher. The ktzira itself is apparently not makid. The whole thing is going to be kosher. So Hasebis says, no. What the Mishnah is telling me is, if you do the ktzira during the day, you're mekayim the mitzvah of ktzira. Meaning, prior to that, we said if you came and everything was already harvested, you're allowed to use that grain for the omer. But guess what? You didn't do the mitzvah of ktzira. You just missed out on the mitzvah that year because you didn't do a ktzira somer. But we're saying if you waited till the next morning and you hadn't done the ktzira somer the night before, you could still be mekayim the mitzvah ktzira somer during the daytime. Okay, so now says Gemara Tanya. Rabbi Yamin Omer, Kosvechar Omer, it says in one pasuk, Ktsartim es Ktsira, Vahavesim es Omer. So it sounds like you're allowed to harvest the grain even before the carbon Omer. Uksiv, but the Hemshech of the pasuk says, Rashis Ktsir Chemela Kohen. Sounds like the Omer has to be the first of the Ktsira. So Haketzad, how do we reconcile the Stira? Oh, must be, Mimakum Shata Mevi, Yata Kotzer, Makum Shata Mevi, Yata Kotzer, that grain that's eligible to be the carbon omer may not be harvested prior to the carbon omer, but grain that anyway is not eligible to be the carbon omer can be harvested prior to the omer. So Ema says Gemara, maybe the way to be miyashiv the stira is differently, and we don't have a raya that this is correct, that chiluk is correct. Maybe mimin sheata mevi iata kotzer, mimin sheiata mevi ata kotzer. Maybe it's not about the quality of the grain, that if this grain is of the quality that it could be used for the carbon omer, then you're not allowed to harvest before the omer. Maybe it's about the type of grain, that only barley, which can be used for the carbon omer, may not be harvested before the omer, but wheat, which cannot be used for the carbon omer, maybe it can be harvested prior to the omer. So it says, "Marahulo matzamit mid Rabbi Yochanan." Now that can't be true, because Rabbi Yochanan had a gzeirah shava that we learned in yesterday's daf from a freshes challah, that just like challah is noeg with kol chameishas min. So too, the Isra of Ktsira prior to the Omer is noeg by all Chameshas Mine Dagan. So therefore, you can't have a drasha that tells me that the Isra of Ktsira prior to the Omer doesn't relate to certain types of grain. We learn from Challah that the Dinim of Omer apply to all types of grain. So Elamai, what do I learn from the Stira and the Psukim? It must be that only the quality of grain that's eligible to be the Karban Omer has an Isra of Ktsira lefnei the Omer, and that's why the Beis Hashlachin, which was a low quality Sheba Amakim, which was a low quality grain, you're allowed to be kotzer before the Omer. In fact, that's what the Anshe Yericho did, and the Chum didn't seem to have a problem with it. Once we're on the topic of the Anshe Yericho, so the Gemara elaborates on that story. Anshe Yericho kotzer beretzon chachamim, v'gotchen shelo beretzon chachamim. When they did the ktsira before the Omer, the Chum were okay with that. When they piled it up, the Chum were not okay with it. Man sham leidamer michu v'lo michu. Who is the Tana that uses a lashon of Michu biadam, lo michu biadam, like our Mishnah said that when it came to the gochin, they did it. Chum weren't happy about it, but lo michu biadam, they didn't make a macha against it. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that uses such lashonos, and therefore it seems that our Mishnah is a reflection of Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah. That they were allowed to be kotzer lifnei omer, they were not allowed to be kodesh. But we we didn't make a big stink about the fact that they were Godesh. So says Gemara, V'sav Rabbi Yehuda, K'tzir Dan She'iricho, B'Ritzon Chachamim Havai. But wait, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that they were allowed to be Kotzer before the Karban Omer? V'atanya, but we have a Braisa where it seems that Rabbi Yehuda is one that holds that they were not even allowed to be Kotzer before the Omer, that Shishad V'Armas Dan She'iricho. The Braisa tells us that the Dan She'iricho did six things. Shlosha B'Ritzon Chachamim, three of them were with the approval of the Chachamim, Shlosha Shalom B'Ritzon Chachamim, and three without the approval of the Chachamim, Ve'elu Shabiritzon Chachamim. The following three things were the Chachamim approved of. Markivin Dekalim Kalayom, that they would be Markiv Dekel trees throughout the entire day of Erev Pesach. So again, our daily Pesach reference, the entire day of Erev Pesach, even though you're not allowed to do Malacha on Erev Pesach from Chatzos Hayom and on, and Perak Makom Shenagu, the fourth Perak of Pesachim, is about Makom Shenagu, that they did, there were places that had minhag not to do Malach at all, even from the beginning of the day on Erev Pesach, but from Chatzos Hayom and on is for sure Aser. So they held that this isn't really a Malacha Chashuva, and therefore they would do Harkavas Dekalim on Erev Pesach. That's what Rashi writes, that they held it wasn't a Malacha Chashuva. Tosfos Yom Tov writes in the name of the Aruch that Harkavas Dekalim has a very specific time frame where you could do it, and if you don't do it in that time frame, you're going to lose the whole Dekal, you're going to lose the tree. So because it was a hefzid, that's why they would be Markiv Dekalim, even if it came out on Erev Pesach at a time where you're not supposed to be doing Malacha. So that was one thing that was Biritzon Chacham. The Chacham were okay with that. Second, V'korchin Es Shema. They would be Korech the Shema, which means, according to some Rishonim, that they didn't pause in saying Shema Yisrael to give space between the words of Shema. The third thing they did, V'kotrin Lefnei Omer Biritzon Chachamim. They would also be Kotzer the grain before the Karban Omer, and that was all Beritzon Chachamim. Ve'ele Shalom Beritzon Chachamim. And the following was done. So far, whoever this Tana is, we'll see it's Rabbi Meir, aligns with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that it was Beritzon Chachamim that they were quoted, that was good. Ve'ele Shalom Beritzon Chachamim. And the following is was done Shalom Beritzon Chachamim. Godshin Lefnei Omer. They would pile up the grain before the Karban Omer. Umatirin Gimzios Shalhegdish. They were matir themselves to get Hana'ah from branches of Atzei Hegdish, that the Gemara says in Pesachim that the forefathers of the Anshei Yericho were Makdish Atzei Shikma V'charuv for Bedek Abayis when they didn't yet have leaves on them and they didn't have branches on them, and then they grew these branches while it was owned by Hegdish. So the Anshei Yericho held that there's no Me'ila on Gidule Hegdish, so they allowed themselves to get Hana'a from these branches. But the Chama said, you're wrong, that there is Me'ila from Gidule Hegdish. So this grew in Hegdish's Roshos, and therefore you're not allowed to get it off from it. Shalchara v'shal Shikma. And the third is, Uportin Pirtos Begino Sein, Bepartis Sein, Lahach Neshala Aniim, Bishne Bitsoris, Bishabasos Biom Tovim. They would make breaches in the fences around their gardens and their orchards so that Aniim should be able to come in to eat the fruits that had fallen off of the trees during years of famine, and on Shabbosos and Yom Tovim, and the Chacham were not happy about that, that they allowed that on eating the Peros HaNoshrim on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that was Shalom Britzon Chachamim. So Divra Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's list of things that are Britzon Chachamim and that are Shalom Britzon Chachamim. Now it's a little bit, Shatosos raises the question, why did the Anshei Yericho have to do Shalom Britzon Chachamim with the branches that grew when they belonged to Hegdish? They could have just been matir these branches, because the halacha is that Hegdish that's shava manu could be mischalal and shava pruta b'zman hazeh. When we don't have a base of Migdash, we ease the restrictions in terms of what it takes to be poda Hegdish. Normally you need to be poda for its value, but b'zman hazeh you could take Hegdish that's worth a lot of money, just take a shava pruta, just take a pruta and be mechalal it. So couldn't they have been matir it all anyway? So why do they have to go against the chachamim? So tell also says that we're talking about a case where their forefathers who were Makdish the Eitzim made an Isser Konam, not an Isser Hegdish, and Chilul doesn't work on that which has Kedusha of Konam, as when they use the Lashon of Konam. Or he says, this din of Hegdish Shavamana, that Yimachal Shavapruta is Mechulal, that is only in a case case where you're makdish the object, with the guy who was makdish it is the one being poda it. But when the guy who was makdish it is not the one being poda it, it's his descendant, then that halacha doesn't apply. Okay, but anyway, that's Reb Meir's list. Amar lo Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda says Reb Meir, im beretzon chacham meinosin, if those three things, those first three things were beretzon chacham, you call out the Muslim king, then everybody would be allowed to do that. Ela elu ve'elu, shalo beretzon chachamim. Even your initial list of three, which by the way included harvesting before the Omer, that was against the Ratzon of the Chachamim. The only difference between the first three and the last three is that three of these things that the Chacham made a macha'a and thought it was worth fighting about, and three of these things the Chacham did not think it was worth arguing about, that it was worth making a macha'a against. But it was all Shalom Ratzon Chacham. Ve'elu Shalom Michu Biyadam. Which of the three did the Chacham not make a stink about? Markivin the Kalim Kalayom. Those were the three that they didn't make a macha about. And which ones did they make a macha about? The matirin gumzios shel hegdish, that they were matir themselves to enjoy those branches of hegdish shel harv shel shikmar, from the harv and shikmar trees. Uparts and pirs begin the same parts saying they lahach and nashal aniim b'shnei betzaris b'shabbos yom tovim, that they allowed the aniim to eat the peris and osham, the peris that came off of the trees on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And third, v'nosin peah leyarek, they left peah in their fields, even in their vegetable gardens, even though their vegetable gardens are not really chayiv in peah min adin. What's so terrible about that? So the aniyim get a little extra. What's so bad? Because peah is pata for maiso. So by giving the impression that this is peah, that the vegetable gardens were chayiv in peah, that implies that to the aniyim that, you know, you don't have to take maiso from this stuff. But it really is chayiv in maiso. So michu biadun lecham, that's unacceptable. That's where the chum made a macha'a. But bottom line is, what do we see from this brisa? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, when they were kotzer before the Omer, that was shelo beretzon chachamim, and that's against our Mishnah. So again, the Gemara's kasha was, how come in our Mishnah we said that when the Anshei Yerichu were kotzer before the Korban Omer, it was something that Chum were perfectly fine with, but our Mishnah seems to be authored by Rabbi Yehuda, because our Mishnah uses the term of mochen biadam, ein mochen biadam. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that speaks in that language, and yet in the brisa, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that it was shelo beretzon chacham that the Anshei Yerichu harvested before the Omer. So says Gemara Ultaimeich, well, wait a second. According to you, you think the Brisa makes sense anyway, even independent of any Mishnah. Does the Brisa inherently make sense? Shisha, Shiva Havu. If you count the number of items that we mentioned in the Brisa that Rabbi Yehuda says that the Anshei Yerichu did, it's not six things, it's seven things. Markivin Dekalim, Korchim al Shema, Kochin Lefnei Omer, Gochin Lefnei Omer, those are separate things. Matirim Gomzio Shal Hagdish, Portim Pirzos Lachil Nesher, and Nosim Peel Yerek. It's seven items. Ella Sami Mikan Ksira. So take away the from Rabbi Yehuda's list, you should take away Kochin Lefnei Omer, and it should just be Gochin Lefnei Omer. And that was Shalom Beretzon Chachamim, but Einachinami, Kochin Lefnei Omer would be Beretzon Chachamim, and therefore it doesn't belong in the Brisa at all on Rabbi Yehuda's list. Rabbi Yehuda had six items. Ktsira Lefnei Omer was not one of them. And the reason it's not one of them is because Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah, where he says that Ktsira Lefnei Omer was perfectly fine, that there was nothing wrong with that. Kotzer L'Shachas Machal Behema. So we said that you could be Kotzer L'Shachas for animal fodder and feed that to your animals even before the Omer. So Machlok's Tanoim, whether Ktsira's Shachas has a din of Ktsira or not. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah Mesechas Peah. Ve'ilim Afsikin Lepeah. That in general, you're supposed to leave a corner of each field for the aniyim to take, and that's called the mitzvah of peah. But how do you define what's each field? Meaning, when do I consider adjacent properties to be multiple fields, and when do I consider it to be one field? So if there's a barrier between the two fields, then I know that they're separate fields. But if there's no barriers, just one hemsheikh of karka, then it's one field, and I leave just one corner. So what is mafsik? What would be a barrier that would define things as two fields? Hanachal, if there's a stream that runs right in between. Vashalulis, another body of water from collected rainwater. Viderach HaYachid, there's a path that individuals walk on. Viderach HaRabim, or a path that's 16 amos wide that the Rabim walk on. Ushvil HaRabim, or meaning Derech means like a road. A Shvil is a path that the Rabim use that to walk, but not to bring their wagons or whatever else. Ushvil HaYachid, or a path that a Yachid walks on, meaning if that runs right through the middle of the field, that means you have two fields. Hakvu b'mosachama u'b'mosachshamim. By the shvil specifically, it has to be something that's there both in the winter time and the summertime in order for it to be considered significant enough to break up the two fields. Vahabur, if you have an area that's not plowed and not planted in the middle, so that separates the fields. Vanir, or if you have a plowed area in between. Vizera Acher, or you have another item planted that's different than the stuff planted in the two fields that flank it on either side. So that splits the two fields. Vekotzer l'shachas, and if you ever harvested just for the sake of shachas, of feeding to behema, so that you harvest an area, a strip of land in the middle, so that's mafsik. That's mafsik between the two fields. Now the divrei Meir, that's Rameir's opinion. So apparently Rameir holds ktsira l'shachas is not called ktsira, because we certainly wouldn't say, well, if you begin harvesting in the middle of a field, you know, you have to harvest all of it. If you begin your harvesting in the middle, that must be that it's two fields. No, that wouldn't be two fields. I'm going to harvest the whole thing. Elamai, if what I do in the middle is kotzer l'shachas, that's not called ktsira. That's not just called that I'm doing harvesting. That's telling me that it's a separation between the two fields because it's not a ktsira. V'chamorim ein mafsik. And the Chum say kotzer l'shachas is not mafsik between the two fields because that is called a ktsira. And all you're doing is you're starting the ktsira process. Elim kein charash. Unless after the ktsira, you plowed that area before you were kotzer the rest of the field. That shows that it's a split between the two fields. So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Meir Shita, Amar Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir, Bishitas Rabbi Shimon, Amara. Rabbi Meir must be going like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, Damar Yikzer V'yachil, Afmi Shevi Yishlish, where the Rabbi Shimon says, you could be kotzer and feed your animals, even if the grain is one-third grown. Alma K'savar Kol Shachas Av K'tzirihi, because apparently he holds, anytime the purpose of your K'tzira is just for Shachas, is just to feed the animals, that's not called a ketzira. So since Rabbi Meir is following the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, it turns out when Rabbi Meir says a kotzer l'shachas mafsik, it's even when your kotzer tavua that's already one third grown, because that's what Rabbi Shimon said in our Mishnah, that a person could be kotzer even one third grown tavua prior to the Karban Omer. So Yosef Rabba v'Karban Lala Shmaita, Rabbi was saying over this teaching that Rabbi Meir Maseches Peah follows Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. Say Isvei Ravacha Barhuna l'Rava, Ravacha Barhuna challenged Rava. It says in the Tosefta that if you have a field that achala chagav that was eaten by grasshoppers, krisamua in the malim, or the bugs have eaten through the grains, shibarta ruach, or there was a wind that broke the stalks, hakol modim charash mafsik lo charash enu mafsik. Everyone agrees that if you plowed that area, then it's mafsik between the two halves of the field. But if you didn't, it's not mafsik, because we view that as we should view it as the beginning of the ktsira of the field, and it just was a natural ketzira that was done by forces of nature rather than by you. But akol modim man, who is the akol modim? Rabbi Meir, it must be Rabbi Meir, that even though he holds ketzira l'shachas is mafsik, because it doesn't have a shame ketzira, but he's modim that ketzira that happens by chagovim or nimalim or a ruach is not going to be mafsik, because that's considered to be the beginning of the ketzira of the field. So iam bishlom masnisin bishloi vishlish. Well, I would understand very well that Sefta would make sense if you're going to say that Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah about kotzer l'shachas mafsik is when it's not yet one third grown. So then the ketzira shachas is not considered the beginning of the ketzira of the field. So that's why it's mafsik between the two halves of the field. Price of the charash in lo charash lo. And the Tosefta that says that if it was eaten by grasshoppers, it's not mafsik unless you plowed the field is b'shevi shlish. That's talking about where it was one third grown, and therefore we treat this ketzira as the beginning of the ketzira of the field if you haven't plowed it. Eli'i Amrit, but if you're going to say like Rabbi Yochanan says, that Rabbi Meir follows the sheet of Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to be kotzer l'shachas before the Karban Omer, even if already is one third grown, then it turns out that when he says a kotzer l'shachas is mafsik, is even when it's one third grown, and even that's not called the shame ketzira, so it's not considered the beginning of the ketzira. Well, how does that make sense then? Hashta, uma hasam de ketzira de adam, when a human being does the ketzira, amar amer lo shema ketzira, he's going to say that it's not called the ketzira. Hachalo kol shkein, when a force of nature does the ketzira, all the more so it should not be called the ketzira. So why is Rabbi Meir moda that that's not mafsik unless you were choresh? So says Gemara, El Rabbi Meir b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda amara. Rabbi Meir must hold like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Damar emesai b'zman shishkal ad shelo hevishlish. Avon hishkal ad shehevishlish aser. The Rabbi Yehuda says that it's only not called a ketzira when it's not not yet one third grown, but when it's already one third grown, so then it is going to be called a katsira. So Meili, you can't ask the stira between the Mishnah and the Tosefta, because Rav Meir holds that a katsira l'shachas is not mafsik between the two halves of the field, is only if you did it when it was not yet one third grown. Whereas the Tosefta is talking about a case where it's already one third grown, and that Rav Meir's moda that even if the katsira was done by a force of nature, that's called a katsira because the grain was substantial at that point. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue this conversation about aligning the sheet of Rabbi Meir with somebody. So we'll pick up from there.